the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Very good evening to all. We thank God for another night, and it's always a privilege. This is the 1st July, as we start the second half of the year. We have every reason to thank God for keeping us through the first half of the year. You know, sometimes we take these things for granted. It's as though it's automatic. When you sleep, you have to wake up. When you start the day, you have to end it. No, it's never automatic. It's just the grace of God. I mean, you can count the number of funerals you've seen this year, the posters, all the obituaries all around. But if you are alive this evening, we have every reason to thank Him. It's only by His grace and His mercy that we are not consumed. I'm Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And we'll be having some news, a few news items happening in the world. And we'll be talking about the series started last week, talking about some of the globalist agenda and emphasizing on the deception of the times. Indeed, these are not ordinary times. If you see at ordinary, then you are already deceived. So we'll be talking a bit this evening. Let me first start with some of the news happenings, and then we move on. Greetings to listeners outside the country as well, online. All right. So, New York City drag marches. You know, June was their Pride Month, so all sorts of abnormalities, abominable things were happening. And in one of such abnormal things, you had male drag marches. You know, they call themselves drag queens and all that. And at a point, some were completely stark naked and marching in the streets and then chanting, "We are coming for your children." You know, it's getting more worrying as the days go by regarding this LGBT issues. And it's just really, really unfortunate how things are going. And the sad part of it is how governments are just falling for it. It's quite interesting. But, well, we shouldn't be surprised as believers when you see these things. Then we have the state of Michigan, where you have the House passes a bill that could make using wrong pronouns a felony, and you can be fined up to $10,000. So a recently passed bill in Michigan could make it a felony to intimidate someone by intentionally using the wrong gender pronouns, according to some legal experts. The Michigan State House of Representatives has passed Bill HB 4474, a piece of legislation that criminalizes causing someone to feel threatened by words. And the issue is, how do you define the threatened? Because you can, the person can just escalate and say that, well, I feel threatened by you calling me the wrong, using the wrong pronouns on me. So under the new bill, offenders are guilty of a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 5 years or by a fine of not more than $10,000. And, you know, so if the person says he's a he and you say she, see, it's a bit worrying because, I mean, I think 2 weeks or so, one of the celebrities, I've forgotten the name, said, you know, she was calling herself, she was using the pronouns they and them, you know, one human being say you are they and them. demons, not sure, man. So anyway, that's the definition of they and them. And she got tired using it. So now she said she's going back to the she and her, the normal male, female pronouns. So she got tired. She's not using the they and them again because she has to always explain it to people and correct people. You see, so ideally, if you see a woman, a girl, a lady, whatever, female, the logical pronouns you use is the she and the her. But you can now see a woman and you call her she and her and says, hey, you have insulted me. I'm not a she nor a her. You have to call me they and them. And now this person can report to you and say that you've misgendered and she feels threatened and all that. It's your word versus her word, him, her, whatever the person is. See, so some of these laws are really being crafted to just entrap people. That's how I see it. All right, then yesterday the Supreme Court of U.S. did an interesting ruling, which the president is even angry, and you know, the liberals are angry and fuming in anger and all that. Colorado cannot punish a Christian website designer for refusing to create websites against her beliefs, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. So by extension, businesses can refuse service to LGBT people if it's based on their beliefs. And biblically, as a Christian, from the Christian perspective, I think it makes sense, because if you don't believe in something, it's an abomination in your, according to your faith. Why should you be forced to do it? Provide a service which you don't support, you don't believe in, you think it's wrong. You see, and sometimes the irony of this bias is like, oh yes, they are being discriminated against and all that. That's what they will claim. But what about you, the one being accused? What about your freedoms and your rights? Because you also have rights. So why are your rights also not being respected? But somebody's rights should be respected, so I have to provide a service at all costs. But what about my rights, which I think my religion, and I believe my religion says this is wrong, but that one, nobody wants to respect it. And I believe the Supreme Court has done justice to this issue. And the way the president is angry and his people, it just shows how America has really sunk low when it comes to morality. Then we have this Christians protest. This is UK. Barclays Bank for closing charities accounts under the pressure from cruel LGBT activists. So a Christian charity is holding a peaceful demonstration outside the London, outside the headquarters of Barclays Bank after it agreed to pay $25,200 or £20,000 in compensation for closing its account. The protest on Thursday was organized by the Core Issues Trust and the International Federation for Therapeutic and Counseling Choice, a Christian ministry that offers counseling to people struggling with their sexuality or gender identity. The charity's account with Barclays was closed in 2020 without any reason given by the bank, which was the main headline sponsor for the London LGBT Pride event that year. The decision to close the Core Issues Trust account coincided with the campaign of harassment against its founder, Dr. Mike Davidson, who received hundreds of nuisance calls and messages, including one text expressing the hope that he and other staff members would be raped and killed. This week, Barclays Bank agreed to pay the Core Issues Trust the amount of money in compensation plus legal costs. And you know, there was another news I saw, two other people were also complaining. A different bank also closed their bank account without any reasonable, and the only offense is they criticized their anti-LGBT. And they are talking about the worrying trend, because if a bank can just close your account simply because of your beliefs and what you stand for, then what type of community or society are we living in that you can intimidate people because of their beliefs? And you see, I can tell you for a fact that it will not be long. That's going to be the trend. It's just going to be more common in places where they'll be using these tactics to shut people down, to intimidate people from speaking up and criticizing and standing their ground and all that. Because, I mean, it's just an unfair way of treating people. What about freedom of expression in the first place? You know, already in the US, there are countless issues where GoFundMe will refuse to allow funds to be created, accounts to be created for fundraising purposes for people who are conservatives or Christian-based, depending on the issues, maybe controversial issues come up and they are facing justice, legal rights, people are opening an account to help them defray their costs in courts and all that. And GoFundMe will block it. They will not allow them to raise funds. PayPal, there are instances PayPal blocks, I mean, people's accounts from receiving donations to help their cause, to defend their faith and all that. This is so, these liberal institutions gang up sometimes to just frustrate Christians and intimidate Christians simply for standing their ground or speaking their mind or resisting the liberal, I mean, systems. And then we have this interesting news. You know, I believe some of you heard or saw the news, last year or 2 years. It's been in the system for some time, on and off, in which Bill Gates is looking at, with his other people, when they have money or something, I don't know what goes through their heads, where they want to block the sun. You heard me right, block the sun. And so this week, this news is up. EU, European Union, looking at ways to block out the sun and change weather patterns on Earth. And my mind just went to Genesis chapter 1. Let me just quickly read. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. So the creator of the universe, in his own wisdom, created the sun for a purpose, for the seasons, for the days, and all that. Now, the wise people we have on this earth now, the rich wise people, quote unquote, who think that they know better than God and want to let the world be the way they want it to be, already they are doing it in various ways. I mean, transhumanism, they want human beings to be the way they want to be, not in the image of God again, all these things. But this is quite, let me just read portions of it. The EU will join an international effort to assess whether large-scale interventions, such as deflecting the sun's rays or changing the Earth's weather pattern, are viable options for fighting climate change. I mean, one question that comes to mind is, so the world, we are all on this earth together. Have you sought the views of everybody's opinion, whether they like the sun or not? We have over 7 billion people. A few people cannot just decide that, well, we want to block the sun or deflect the rays of the sun. I mean, this world, you know, it's as if the world has gone mad. I mean, completely mad now. That's what we are seeing. And the EU bloc will announce a framework Wednesday for assessing the security implications of a rapidly warming planet, such as the potential for scarce water or food to trigger conflict and migration, according to a draft document seen by Bloomberg. Part of that assessment includes studying the potential dangers of re-engineering the atmosphere. These technologies introduce new risks to people and ecosystems, while they could also increase power imbalances between nations, spark conflicts, and raise a myriad of ethical, legal, governance, and political issues, according to the document, which is subject to change. Embarking on this research pushes the EU into a debate over whether the so-called climate geoengineering is good science or just science fiction distraction, with potentially dangerous implications for the planet and its atmosphere. The bloc would like to see international discussions on creating rules for the fledgling sector. The EU will support international efforts to assess comprehensively the risks and uncertainties of climate interventions, including solar radiation modification, according to the document. Such large-scale interventions have emerged alongside scientific advances and growing concern that nations will overshoot their targets to limit the global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. The potential options include stratospheric aerosol injection, which involves increasing the concentration of particles in the atmosphere to reduce the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth's surface. Critics see such efforts at best distract attention from addressing the primary trigger of global warming, rising emissions. That is, and then at worst, these massive interventions may have unforeseen side effects such as altering vital rain patterns and then being warm weather and all that. Some scientists have called for an international non-use agreement on such solutions. You know, it's ridiculous because the sun has a role to play in all sorts of, in many things. Vitamin D3, which is very good for the body, immunity and all that. So you see, God knows the quantity or the volumes or the levels of the sun rays that we need, the human body needs to build the body's immunity. Altering whatever sun they want to do, you know, you see, men now want to play God. They want to act like God. They want to challenge God. Because if you read some of the reports, you watch some of the documentaries, the inventions, the things that they are doing, some classified and those that are even open, you just ask yourself, to what end? Why do you even think of doing this? Why do you want to combine embryos to create all sorts of creatures? Why do you want to combine this, combine some type of animals? A whole lot of things. A lot of things are happening, playing in the lab for viruses to come, all sorts of diseases being created in the labs. You see, it's as if they just want to, not they just, that's exactly what they are doing, just manipulating human nature, human beings, manipulating nature, creating all sorts of chemicals which are causing diseases now. And ultimate agenda, you know, depopulation of the world. You see, they just want to do things the way they want to do, forgetting that it's someone else who created the world. And they are doing these things without recourse to the creator of the universe. But, well, you know, human beings, we have a limit. We can do all these things. And the breath of life that is in you, you cannot create that one. And the one who created you, if he chooses to just take your breath away from you, you see how your invention, your so-called invention and the life you think you have that you can prolong and do all these things will come to fruition. And it's interesting how the world is going, but it's just yesterday I heard someone say that he just can't imagine if Christ tarries how this world is going to be like in beyond 10 years' time, how this world will look like. Because the level of strange things and absurdities we are hearing and seeing, it's very worrying. Oh yes, I mean, yesterday one pastor was talking of a member or one of his followers or whatever called the U.S. from the U.S. and was worried because the 5-year-old child comes home and the homework they've given this child is to come and ask the parents about their sexual activity. The parents, so 5-year-old, come and ask your parents about it and all that. I mean, all sorts of, it's like, why would you want to expose a 5-year-old child to this? Why would you want to do this? Because it just doesn't make sense. But that is the world we are in. And now they don't care about you're a child or not. It's like, destroy them. I remember some time back, a few weeks ago, and I saw a report in which one MP in the UK Parliament was reading a document, a plan, the ultimate plan, one of the plans of the globalists to ensure that children by 9 years are already having sex. That's the plan, I mean, ultimately, these globalists. by 9, children should be having sex. So, you see, they know this whole child education, sex education, curriculum and all that. It's intentional. This intentionally expose them to these things, knowing very well that it's difficult to resist. And once they get exposed and they are encouraged to practice these things, then they fall into various addictions and lifestyles which will be difficult to control. And you see, ultimately, the whole plan is just make it easier for all these people who fall prey to these traps, making it easier for people to go to hell. That's all that the devil is doing. And now, you see, he won't wait for these children to grow to be youth or adulthood and all before they decide things for themselves, no. Now, catching them young at the earliest age possible, destroying them, getting them hooked to all sorts of lifestyles and addictions, knowing very well the difficulties to break out for some of these things. So, indeed, the world is in a very dangerous stage now. We are really speeding on a slippery slope where it's just unfortunate. But you see, as believers, that's why I'm bringing some of these discussions on board. We have to understand what is happening and we have to be informed and we have to know how to protect and prevent some of these things if the need be. I'll be back after this short interlude. And this is a song by the Maranatha Singers.
Your cry for with you.
Oh, beautiful song by the Maranatha Singers. Okay, indeed. He's promised to be with us, so we need not fear. You know, these are times, you know, you can easily be afraid of the things you hear, the things you see, but we have the promise of God that we need not fear. This week I had, I think, a few of the listeners sent me this video, but this is not the first time I'm seeing such a video, but it's part of the whole agenda, you know, the globalist agenda, so let me also address it briefly. This pastor with a large following in South Africa who has converted to Islam and was, you know, crying and all that, saying, you know, he had three dreams and in the dream was instructed to, you know, convert to Islam. So he believed it and acted on it, and he's even gone to Mecca and all that. His church, they've done it, the members have done it, they're happy. And you know, you watch it, you know, the first time I saw another a pastor in Nigeria who has also said he's also converted and he's happy, he made a mistake being a Christian. I'm not surprised, because you see, there's this move of, you know, trying to, the way believers see these things, oh, we serve the same God, all the Abrahamic faiths, we serve the same God, we serve the same God. And you see, when you watch this current pastor, the South African one, for instance, I mean, if you really know God for yourself and you have a dream, the first thing you have to understand that the devil also gives dreams. So that one, if the fact that you dream does not mean, because your dream, you have to cross-check it or benchmark it with the word of God. As a supposed pastor, I'm so-called pastor, let me put it that way. If you dream that something, someone is telling you to leave your faith, I mean, obvious, you have to just know clearly. If you really, really are in the faith itself, you should know that something is amiss. So for you to believe the voice and act on it, the name of, oh, you've, yes, the voice was commanding, so that means you have to be obeyed. See, these are the deceptive things I'm talking about, the deception Jesus warned about, because you see, if he is making such an error, well, that's his choice. But his followers, the people who were his congregants, I mean, let me address that one more, because it sends a very shocking signal that these people were not taught the word of God. It's obvious, clear, because if you really are sitting under a pastor and tomorrow your pastor comes to tell you that I'm living the Christian faith and you also follow him, that means you didn't even know what you believed in the first place. Obviously, he's not taught you the right things for you to know God for yourself, because you should be an independent follower of Christ. You shouldn't be following Christ based on your pastor's directions. And that's the sort of Christianity some people are following, where the pastor, the God of my pastor type of thing. So if the pastor is leaving the faith, you're also following. That's really, really serious and worrying, because you see, so that means they didn't know Jesus themselves. Because if really you believed in Christ, you've encountered Christ, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are being led by the Holy Spirit, you just can't be deceived like this. So for him to conveniently deceive the congregation and they just follow blindly, the blind leading the blind, as Jesus warned about, the typical one. But you see, this deception is, we all serve the same God thing. Christians, we should understand the Bible for ourselves. We should know God for ourselves. What did Jesus say? Let me read John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is the only way. That's what Jesus said. And we believe in Jesus. So if we believe in Jesus and he says, I am the only way, Why then can you be deceived that he's not the only way? There are many ways that lead to the Father. I mean, how can you believe that? How can you fall for that? And yet it's happening. You see, so the reason why I'm saying this is, in the times ahead, we are going to be hearing such things. More and more of such deceptive things will be coming, where people can easily fall. Already people are falling for it. But you see, the reason why I'm saying this is, deception is, you have to first understand what is deception. You see, because if you understand deception, then you appreciate the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 4, 24, 5, 24, 11, 24, 24. Maybe let me just read these four verses quickly, and then I move on. Matthew 24, 4, that says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. 24, 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." The word deceive, and many. That's even more worrying. Many being deceived. 24:11. "And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many." Deceive many again. Hey, you have to, God help us. 24:24. That one goes on to say that, "And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." God help us. Hey, you see, so the issue of deception, the talk about end time by Jesus, he overemphasized this topic of deception. For him to mention it in four different verses in the same conversation shows the enormity and the seriousness and the importance of this thing. Take heed, a warning, a sharp warning, that no man deceives you. Because, you see, at this point, Jesus is talking as a prophet. He is foretelling what is going to happen before he comes. And he is saying that we should be careful we are not deceived. That means he's saying that deception is going to come. And he goes on to describe the form of deception, how it will happen and all that. So, as believers, if we want to secure ourselves from being deceived, then we first have to understand what is the deception. What is deception? You see, so deception is, you see, we have to know how easy it is to be deceived. Oh yes, the devil is a master deceiver. So you see, being grounded in the word of God is one major key to avoid being deceived. So deception goes very deep. It's not just about, oh, just one lie, two lies. No, it's really meant to sway you off your faith, off your belief system. So it comes into, it sweeps you away, bringing the wrong idea, convinces you that the truth you believe in, there's room for change. So it's not the absolute truth per se. So you see, oh yes, it's good to believe in Jesus, but it's not also not the only way. It's like other ways to still get to the Father, as we've heard a number of people, personalities talk about in the last few years. See, so it's like, yes, you continue believing what you are believing. It's not wrong. But others, you see, make yourself open to accept that others too are using other ways. So it's like you are going to Accra. Okay, so you are using the main Accra, Ejiso, Konongo road. But someone says that, okay, you are using Accra, I'm using Obuasi road, but we all meet in Accra anyway. So you let's all go. You will meet in Accra. Maybe you get there earlier, but we'll all get there. We are all going to Accra anyway. All roads lead to Accra. So if I use the Obuasi road, I still get to Accra. You are using Ejiso road, to get to Accra. Somebody will even use the same Ejiso road by branch off through Koforidua, will still get to Accra. You see, so you being convinced that we can use diverse roads and still arrive at the same destination, that is how deception is. So you are convinced that, oh, so far as we all get there, you are told that we all get to the meeting Accra. We all get there. So you let me pass here, let you pass here, we all get there. Don't worry, we all meet. So don't get worried that I'll be lost if I use the Kofodia Road. Don't get worried that somebody uses the Obuasi Road. We'll all meet in Accra. That is the deception that is being packaged for the end time. So you see, when you see things like pastors saying, oh, they are moving from Christianity to the other religions and all that, because after all, we serve the same God. Don't follow. Do not follow. You see, the reason why we have to know this ahead of time is Jesus has said it would come. It's not that like it may come. No. These are emphatic statements that Jesus made. That we are going to see these deceptive things. And see, for me, anytime I talk about this, then the worrying part of it is the use of the word many. That's my worry there. Because for it to be many, the key word being many, means whatever type of deception that is going to happen is really going to be massive and is really going to be very convincing. Oh, yes. If you have 1,000 people and let's say 600, 700, 800 are believing a particular issue, you can say that is many. Because many is majority. 100 out of 1,000, you can't say it's many. No. Because they are a minority. So many is majority. So if Jesus says many will be deceived, there will be many deceivers and many will be deceived, then that means whatever the message is going to be will be so convincing that many believers will be swayed from the truth. So when you are aware of such a description, you have that mental picture that this is what is coming. That means then now you can guard your heart with all diligence. You can really watch out because you've been warned. So it's like you've been told that if you use this road, you see lions, you see this, you see that on the road. So you, as you are going, you are watching for it, you are ready, whatever weapon you are going to use to defend yourself, you have it ready in arms. Because you've been told that you would see lions on this road as you are going. So you are prepared for it. So when you see a lion roaring and you hear, oh, I mean, you know that, hey, I was told, so I'm ready for them. But the one who doesn't take the warning serious that there are lions on this road, that person walks convincingly, boldly, thinking, oh, all is well, and suddenly gets pounced by lions. That person has no defensive mechanism because he's subject to anything that the attack coming will bring, because he has no resistance. He's not prepared to resist it. So that's how come many will be deceived. So I believe if you are listening to this discussion, this talk, you see, the caution is let's guard our hearts, let's protect ourselves against the deception that is ahead. We are already seeing it, but it's going to intensify as Jesus describes it. Because if you look at even the Matthew 24:4, 24:5, 24:11, 24:24, it's a bit more of progressive. It starts small, and then the 24:5 is there, then 24:11, and by 24:24, that one is, if it's possible, if it were even possible, the very elect shall be deceived. That means that even the few that will be left, already in 24:11, it says many will be deceived. So if many are deceived, that means few are left. And now he gets to 24:24, and he says, if it were possible, the very elect shall be deceived. The possibility, that means, God help us, it's going to be so, the message will be so appealing that if you are not well grounded, you'll be swayed. Oh, yes, if you are not well grounded. And see, and the power of deception is that you don't say that I cannot be deceived. No, because see, we can all be deceived if we don't guard our hearts well. We cannot be deceived if we underestimate the enemy. We cannot be deceived if we just take some things on the lighter notes. We just believe whatever we hear. We just trust friends. We just trust pastors wholeheartedly without questioning and examining things they say based on the word of God. Like this church in South Africa where a pastor comes to tell you that I've changed religion, I believe in this now, and you just follow without questioning it, then you'll be deceived because you have no resistance within you. And this is how this is how serious the times we are in is going to play out. So when you start hearing things like this, yes, it's a shocker, it's surprising, but we shouldn't be too surprised as well because we've been told it's going to happen. And we should even expect more. Oh, yes. More doctrines, more twisted doctrines, more abominable doctrines. We are going to hear these things more and more and more. You see, so you realize there's an attack on the word of God. These times, people are attacking the word of God. It's a book brought in by the white men to come and deceive us. The same ship that brought the slave masters is what brought the Bible. You know, all these absurd arguments and all the attacking the word of God. You see, but and sadly, it's working on some people because they are shallow in the first place. They were shallow in the word. So the little they hear, a little logical arguments that come, it's able to sway them off their feet. That's why we should guard our hearts with all diligence. Because you see, the enemy knows how to play the game well. And I've said this here a number of times, that he has the deceptive abilities to deceive even spiritual entities, angels in heaven. If he was able to deceive a third of them, then think about his capabilities of deceiving human beings. I mean, come on. Spiritual beings, angels are spiritual beings in heaven. Oh, not that they were angels on earth. Oh. Angels in heaven. He was just able to deceive them, to revolt against God. If this person can do that, then how much more human beings? Because our intelligence, we can't say that we are wiser, we are more intelligent than the devil. No. I mean, he is a spiritual being in existence for several centuries. And so, you see, the power we have as believers is subject to the power of Jesus, our knowledge of the word of God. But he has been there before all these things came, the word of God came into being. No, like the Bible that we are using, he was there before the word of God was written that we are using. So you cannot say that you are wiser than him and so you cannot be deceived. No, humble yourself and know that we are all potential candidates, but we just have to ensure that we fight and hold on to our faith as the grace helps us and the Holy Spirit guides us and keeps us along the way and the path. Because he is so smart in deceiving that if he can deceive one third of angels, then deceiving many Christians is not a big deal. Oh yes, if one angels in heaven, he can deceive one third, then on earth, deceiving Christians is not a difficult thing at all. No wonder Jesus says many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. So you and I should decide and encourage ourselves and caution ourselves that we will be on the lookout for the deception, so that when we see the signature of the devil, we know that this is him coming. You won't wait to be deceived. You're already prepared and waiting for it, ready to resist. Because if you are not aware that deception is coming, it will come in a way that you may not even be aware. And by the time you notice, you've already been deceived long ago. So being aware of the times, that the plan of these globalists as well is to deceive the believers. Ultimately, their aim, for non-believers, they don't care about them. They're already in their camp. But the believers, we are the main hindrance to the agenda. So if they are to deceive, ask yourself this question. Let's think about this. Why would the enemy want to create a one-world religion? Why? I mean, ask yourself why. why would there be falsehood alongside the word of God? The truth is the word of God. Why would you want to create falsehood? It's only because his agenda is the believers. So all these things they are creating, the one world religion, is meant to attack the believers. The deception is meant to attack the... You see, for the unbeliever, there's nothing... There's nothing to bother about deceiving the unbeliever. He doesn't even believe in the truth already. So he's already deceived. So you see, the enemy is not wasting time on the unbelievers. They're already in his camp. So this whole deception for the end times and all is because of the believers. So the schemes and strategies and plans and agenda and everything is being designed and is designed for you and I, the believers, we who believe the truth. So if it's being designed for us, then we should not expect the deception to come from somewhere else. The deception will come from within, because the best way of deceiving is to deceive with people within. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 24:11, that many deceive, many false prophets. That means they will be within to deceive effectively. For you to have an effective deception strategy, the deceiver should be in the church. They should be believers. They should be speaking in tongues. They should be having big titles for it to be more powerful, so that they can sway more people and follow them. Like this South African pastor deceiving several thousands of his members to follow him. So that's how the deception is going to play out. We shouldn't expect the deception to come from outside our faith. No. Even when it's coming from outside our faith, it's coming through our faith to deceive those who are in the truth. So this is why we should be even more careful, because the deceivers will be amongst us. We, the church, the believers, the deceivers will be pastors. The deceivers will be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. The deceivers will be within, so that the deception mechanism and strategy of the enemy will be more potent and effective. So we shouldn't underestimate the strategies of the enemy at all. We should rather be on the lookout and be on guard, so that as soon as you see something doesn't align with the word of God, because you see, as I said earlier, the word of God is our surest way of identifying the deception. That's the surest way, the word of God, the word of God. So if the word of God can be attacked, the word of God can be twisted, the word of God can be manipulated, then you can be deceived. So that's why we have to have the word in us. We have to know the word for ourselves. You know, last week or so, a pastor friend in Accra sent me a video. And this Nigerian pastor was saying that God didn't instruct Noah to build the ark. And it's like, as soon as I started watching it, it's like as if you've been hit by it. It's like, I mean, come on. Sunday school, children, Sunday school, toddlers, cry. So I was playing it at home, like, on my phone, and then I just wanted to test it, and one of my kids, the boy, one of the last born, as soon as his head is, how? See, and I was just laughing. See, even a child hears it, say how? Because you can, the word of God is clear. God instructed Noah, gave the dimensions and all that, how to build the ark. So, but a preacher is preaching that God didn't tell Noah to build the ark. It was his own initiative. And people are happy in the church and they believe it and they are clapping. And it's like, wow. I mean, you see, deception is, you know, the word of, if you don't have the word, you don't know the word. But you see, but if you've read the story of Noah in Genesis yourself, you've read it with your own eyes, you've perhaps meditated on the story, you've thought about it, you've watched a Bible story about it, you've listened to a preaching, a correct preaching about it, and all that before. Now, when you hear someone say that God didn't tell Noah to build the ark, immediately your system within you, you know that no, it's opposite what the word of God says. So this one, it's already in you. You know it's in you already. So you don't even need to make any cross-referencing, now going to open a Bible or a concordance. No. It should be, you have it in you. So as soon as you hear it, your ear, the processing in your mind, no. This is contrary to the word of God, because it's in you. You know it. That's why we should have the word in us. because you hear strange things. Oh, yes, like this Noah story I'm talking about, for instance. You ask yourself, so the members who were sitting there and they were happy with this so-called, quote-unquote, revelation the pastor was talking about, what Bible do they read? Clearly, they don't read their Bibles. Clearly, they don't know the word of God, because if someone tells you Noah, God didn't tell Noah to build the ark, and you believe it and you are clapping, then your Christianity is really questionable. Yes. So, you see, this is how the deception is coming. It's already in, and it's going to increase. It's going to expand in diverse ways. Some will be so close to the truth that it's only the Holy Spirit that can help us to decipher the right from the wrong. Oh, yes. And you see, like poison, if someone gives you 100% poison to drink, full 100% bottle, 1.5 liter, full dose, 100%, the whole thing, the whole content is poison. It will harm you, kill you, possibly. If you are given the same 1.5 liter bottle, and, oh, they tell you it's water, but they drop, you have just a few drops of a high potent poison in it, a few drops added to that water, the effect is the same. It will still kill you. Because the concentration of the poison, that few drops in that water, has contaminated the water to now make it poisonous, to the effect that it can kill. Just as the full dose of 1.5 liter poison, that 1.5, almost 1.5 liter water with poison added to it, is still going to cause the same harm. So you see, the devil sometimes, depending on the situation, may come full 100% deception, like, you know, obvious. They are like this one point, the Noah one. It's just obvious, clear one. This one, they are not hiding anything. It's just obvious. If you know the word, you know it's a lie. This is deception. Clear. It's obvious. You don't need any divine revelation to know it's a lie. It's obvious. But then there are some too which are so well crafted that, and those ones, the poison is, it's like truth is being spoken, and a few drops of poison is being added. And for some, if you are not really led by the Spirit of God to have discernment, you may not spot that deception. You see, so we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God, because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. You see, discerning, the discernment, we have a discernment that we get from the Word of God, as well as we have the gift of discernment. So we need all these combinations. We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in these dark and shadowy periods where deception is coming from various angles. And ultimately, we are the target. You and I, we are the target. Forget about those outside the faith. They are not the target of the deception. No, we, you and I, we are the target. So let's understand that the scheme is on. We serve the same God. We serve the same God. All faiths lead to God, the same God. One world religion agenda being pushed in various ways. All the strategies is to deceive you and I, Christians, for us to miss the target, for us to leave the narrow path. But I believe as you get enlightened in some of these talks, the Holy Spirit guiding, helping us, so that we stay on course and not lose the most important times that we find ourselves. Because, you see, what's the use of being on the straight path all these years? And when it matters most, you fall off, you fall away. Jerry says, good evening, please. So, are there no Christians in the U.S. who would rise again? All the nasty laws being passed in the country. Why are they so quiet? I don't understand. At least they should speak, and if their voices are not heard, at least they made an effort. But to just keep quiet and do or say nothing means they are in support of whatever is going on. Oh, there are opposition groups, NGOs, and Christian foundations, and churches, and pastors who oppose some of these laws. They speak against it. Like the one I spoke, the Michigan one,
you know, that. But you see, California too is, I mean, has come up with a new law where they are working at. I think, I don't know whether they've passed it, but it's being worked on now. I've not checked whether they've passed it yet. But that one, even you, the parents, you commit a crime if you call your own child a different this generation. So you know you have a boy. Now your boy goes to school and the school helps the boy to change to a girl. And you call your boy by the gender you know you gave birth to as a he or she, whichever he or she. Now this child can report to you and you, the parents, will be arrested for calling your own child the wrong gender. This, you know, it's becoming more difficult to be a parent in the U.S., I believe. Oh, yes. I mean, look at some of them. Recently, I was chatting with a friend in Texas, and she's worried because she looks at the children, the pressure that the children are under at school. It's like you are stand alone. Everybody is going left. You alone, you say you are going right. You see, you can imagine the difficulty these children, the Christian children exposed to these systems, are facing. Because, you see, even adults, peer pressure is difficult. Even adults cannot resist. Sometimes the resistance, it becomes difficult for adults to resist the temptations when all their friends are doing something, everybody is going, you alone, you are not going. It's difficult for even adults to keep standing that way. So how much more children? See, so the pressure is very strong on them, very strong. The children and the Christian children and the extreme pressure, because a whole class, sometimes you alone. My friend was telling me the daughter, the first daughter, she is the only one in her class who is like one. You are an island surrounded by sharks and whales and everything. You are the only one standing. And now the question is, for how long? It's a real difficult thing. I mean, it's a real difficult thing. It's only God that can help these parents raise up their children in these very turbulent times. Seriously, I mean, this morning I was having a chat with a friend, and it's like it's worrying now. We're discussing someone who has gone to the U.S., taking the child to the U.S., and it's like when I heard it, I said, wow, at this time, not that even with the parents, but the child going to live with someone else, and it's like we are all worried, because it's like you know that this season is just so difficult for a child to maneuver the systems there. But, you know, that's the world. That's the world. So, Jerry, there are Christians who are still... See, but there's a limit to how far... Because the system, you are surrounded by the media. Everything is anti-God. So, like, you are virtually living in, like, Sodom and Gomorrah. And I keep saying that this generation is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, obviously... Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't have any prophets to warn them. They didn't have pastors. They didn't have the word of God. So that was the first time they are doing these things. So they and God deals with them. But America cannot say that they don't know. So to even take the word Sodomite out of the word Sodom means they know the word of God. And they are saying that, God, we know you. We know you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but we don't care. We don't fear you. That's the essence of how this current world is behaving. So we take the rainbow, which is supposed to be a warning to humanity, and we say we'll use that warning, that so-called warning that you, God, you've given, to spite you, God, that we don't fear you, we'll continue to do the worst that we think we can do. So they take the rainbow as a symbol to symbolize their lifestyle, which is an abomination to God. So this is the generation which doesn't care about what God says. They know the word. When I saw one placard protest in the U.S., LGBT people, and a lady holding a placard, "I'm going to hell," and I know it. That day I realized, the devil has really worked hard. You hold a placard where the LGBT colors is front of the U.S. Supreme Court, and you say, "I'm going to hell," and I know it. This person knows there's hell and says, I'm going there and I know it. What else can you say again? Anyway, God help us. Good night. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You can get a recording on spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group Spirit Issues. So God bless you and good night.